Praise the Lord. Tonight we will be speaking from Daniel the 4th chapter, verses 25 to 37. Well, that's where we'll start anyway. And tonight the name of the message is No Room for Boasting. And when we all get to heaven, there won't be one person there that deserves to be there. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "What makes you to differ from another man?" Romans 9:20 says that we're all of the same lump. He makes one vessel unto honor. He makes another vessel unto dishonor. The only thing that makes us to differ from another man is God, is the grace of God. Last week I preached a message called "The Lord on Our Side." And it was basically, what would we be if the Lord had not been on our side, and if the Lord is not on our side? And that we are what we are, and we do what we do only because God enables us to do it. That He's made us new. And this message kind of follows in the same line as that message, that no room for boasting. Let him that boasts, boast in that he knows the Lord. What the scripture says, what have you received that you have not received from God? In Him we live, we move, we have our being because of God. He putteth down one man and He setteth up another man. God is the judge. Hallelujah. And He is the governor over the nations. The kingdoms of the earth, they belong unto the earth. All the inhabitants of the earth belong unto the Lord. He's a governor of over the nations. God reigneth over the heathen. He's a king that ruleth over all the earth. He sets up one man to rule, and He tears down another man. He sets up one kingdom. And that when we're in heaven, there will not of works, lest any man should boast. We are what we are by the grace of God, is what the Apostle Paul said. And this is really no more evident than in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. And that here he has a dream, and he's troubled by the dream, and he calls Daniel. This is the second dream he's had. And this dream is about God taking away His kingdom, and God setting him out, driving him out into the fields to live like a wild animal for a period of time. Now, He's not going to take ultimately, He's not going to take away all the kingdom. He's going to restore this man. But what it does, it shows the sovereignty of God and ruling among the nations. And that no one can withstand His power. No one can resist His will. Hallelujah. And that He gives the kingdoms of men to whomever He will. That He reigns even over the heathen. Glory to God. And their heart is in the hand. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and like a river, He turns it wheresoever He will. And you'll see that there's no room for boasting. That in Nebuchadnezzar, as his very words, he begins to boast, God turns him out into the field. God is able to humble. He's able to humble the proud. No one can resist His will. And no one will be in heaven because they earn it, because they deserve it. And whatever Paul said, by the grace of God I am what I am. And the grace of God which was with me, was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Glory be to God. But it is the grace of God. I labored more abundantly than they all, Paul said, but not yet I. But the grace of God which was with me, because of His kindness, because of His favor. What made Jacob to differ from Esau? The grace of God. Why did he... Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. How did God demonstrate His love towards Jacob? You see? Amen? The first really is that the 3 points in this sermon is that we're born sinners. Through Adam we all became sinners. There's none good. And the second point is, it's only God that makes one man to differ from them. We're all of the same lump. We're all of that same lump coming from Adam. We're all sinful. We're all born sinners. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. My mother was a sinner. You see? And we're of the same lump. All sinful. That lump is sinful. And the only thing that made Jacob to differ from Esau was God's choice, God's calling. That's what makes a man differ from another. God's calling. That's what makes Nebuchadnezzar different here from other kings. God is calling this man. Amen. God is choosing this man to manifest Himself. He's choosing to manifest Himself to this man. And He doesn't manifest Himself to all men. He doesn't give grace to all men. Unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Unto them it's not given. Unto you is given the grace to understand. Unto them it's not given the grace to understand. Amen? No one can boast. Because we're all of that same lump. We're all sinners. And if it were not for the grace of God, we would stay in that sinful condition. Amen? I've received a new nature only because of the grace of God. Partaker of the divine nature only because of the grace of God. Receive faith, the gift of faith. To every believer is given a measure of faith. Not all men are given faith, it says. What makes you different from another? Only God's calling. Only God's election is what I hope you see. That there's no room for boasting. Even the elders, the 24 elders, are worshiping and praising God. Thou art worthy to receive power, honor, and glory. They take their crowns and they cast them down at the feet of the throne. And what is that saying? An act of humility. And what they're really saying, we only are what we are is because of you. We only have these crowns. We're only sitting on the high council of God because of you, because of your grace. No other reasons. And all that we are, we place at your feet because you've given it to us. The very breath we breathe. He gave man the breath of life, formed him out of the dust of the ground. How can he boast? And breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It's amazing. It's amazing. So here we have, this is the interpretation of the dream. That this is the second dream he's had. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. He cannot resist it. God has commanded that this come to pass. He's decreed it. It's going to happen. And whether you believe it, whether you don't believe it, it's going to happen. You see? That they shall drive you, Nebuchadnezzar, from men. And that they here is the angels of God. They're going to drive him from men. And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make you to eat grass as an oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 years shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded the angels to leave the stump of the tree of roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. See, he's not going to utterly remove the tree. He left a stump in the roots. That's Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. It's still intact. While he's in the field, it's going to be given back to him. After that, thou shalt have known that heaven do rule. That the heavens do rule. See, no more will you boast in your might, Nebuchadnezzar. No more will you boast in your power, in your kingdom. You will understand that the only reason you're ruling, the only reason your kingdom has might, is because God has given it to you. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Greatness. Thine is the greatness, O Lord. Thine is the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Riches and honor. 29:12. Riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great. Nebuchadnezzar is great. Nebuchadnezzar has a kingdom. And only because God has given it to him. And he's going to take that pride from him. And he's going to remove that boasting out of his mouth until Nebuchadnezzar recognizes that he is what he is only by the grace of God. Okay? Amen? It's just a perfect example of no room for boasting. Let's keep going. Wherefore, O king, this is David, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be the healing of thy heir. If so be, you may turn from your heir. God's given him space to repent. You see, but his heart is still hardened. His heart has to be made soft. You see? His heart is still hardened. He's not really hearing yet. He's not really listening yet. He has to go through these fires before he's able to listen. So that boasting is removed from the mouth. Amen? And that's exactly what's happened. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. He did not heed Daniel's warning. You think he would? After Daniel interpreted the other dream about the statue and about the kingdom, where all the other wise men, all the other counselors didn't know what any of that dream meant. Daniel interpreted it. And correctly, you think Nebuchadnezzar would be listening. But I'll tell you, his heart, it doesn't say God hardened his heart. But you can pretty much bet that the Lord has hardened his heart so he won't hear. Right? He wants him to go through this. There are things you have to go through to remove that boasting, to remove that flesh. Amen? To grow. To get a Nebuchadnezzar's going to get a revelation of God here. You see? God's going to, through this, God is going to reveal himself in a mighty way to this man. That from now on, his boast will be in the Lord. That's why the trials come. And so that when we boast, we will boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. At the end of 12 months, the king walked into the palace. Into the kingdom of Babylon. He walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Verse 29. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might and my power and for the honor of my greatness? See, it's all about him. I built this kingdom by my might, by my power, my kingdom. The kingdoms are the Lord's. Amen? Kingdoms are the Lord's. And God's going to, and by the end of this trial, he's going to know the kingdoms are the Lord's. And while the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And the angels shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High rule in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. That's the second time it said that in 10 verses. That the kingdom is the Lord's, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. See, there's no room for boasting because what you are, whether you're great, whether you're poor, God maketh rich, God maketh poor, God killeth, God maketh alive. He gets all the glory. Amen? In him we live, we move, we have our being. I am what I am by the grace of God. And the only thing that makes you differ is the grace of God, is the Spirit of God changing your sinful nature. We're all of the same lump. We're all born sinners. We go estranged from the womb. We go astray from the womb, speaking lies. As soon as we be born, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Glory to God. That same hour, the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. Now that's quite a test. Amen? And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned. You see, he's a merciful God. He's not going to leave you in that fire. He's going to make a way of escape after you've suffered a while. But there's a reason for the suffering. He's got to remove that boasting from your lips. He's got to remove that pride from that sinful nature. And sometimes He has to go to drastic, extreme measures to bring you to a place of repentance, to bring you to a place of understanding. Nebuchadnezzar now is coming to, his heart's being softened, and God is bringing him to a place of understanding. You see, his reasoning was taken from him. God can take away your reasoning. And then his reasoning was restored unto him. There is nothing that God cannot do. He can take a man, the most powerful man in the world, and turn him out into the field and turn him into a wild animal. And then, when he's ready, restore him, remake him, and return him again unto a man. There's nothing the Lord cannot do. And that's why we need to humble ourselves, and at His feet we worship. And our boasting must be in the Lord. There's no room for boasting in the kingdom of God. None! For by grace are you saved through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. There will not be any boasting. God has made it so that He is removed. All boasting, so all praise goes unto His Son. Amen? And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is far from generation, is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, so that none can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? You cannot question God. And there's no one that can keep Him from doing, stay His hand. Amen? There's no one who can stay His hand. There's no one that can rise up against Him. There's no one that can keep Him from doing what He wants to do. There's no one above Him. And the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Even among the angels and the armies of heaven, He doeth according to His will. And among the inhabitants of the earth, He putteth down one, He setteth up another. He maketh one great, He maketh another poor. And He does it for His glory. And for his son's sake. And none can question Him. What are you doing? There's no one wiser than Him. You see? He doesn't answer to anyone. Amen? He does whatsoever He will. In the earth, in the sea, in heaven. He does according to His will. And now I, Nebuchadnezzar, extol and honor the King of Heaven. And all His works are truth and His justice. And all His works are truth and His ways are just. What He's done to me was just. Can you say that? The trial you're in, the wilderness you're in, the fire you're in, can you say He's just in what He's doing to you? I've been in the trial for close to 20 years. A 20-year trial. Can you say that God is just in what He's doing and all His ways are truth? Are you in agreement with what He's doing on this earth? His ways are past all the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. His ways are past finding out. His ways are unsearchable. His judgments are unsearchable. His ways are past finding out. Glory to God. No room for boasting. For of Him and to Him and through Him are all things. To Him be glory. He gets the glory. Hallelujah. We're all of the same love. Turn to Romans 3. There's no one good, no, not one. We've all sinned. Let's start in Romans 5. Romans 5:12. Little depiction of the fall of mankind. In Romans, the first two chapters, Gentiles are sinners, Jews are sinners. Romans 3, all men are sinners. None, the works of the law, the commandments, we're all guilty. All the world's mouth would be stopped None can say I have not sinned, is what that means. The whole world's mouth be shot, and the whole world be found guilty. In other words, the whole world is going to be judged by the Ten Commandments under the law. You're going to be judged by these commandments, but you can't be saved by them. You see? You can't be saved by them. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You see? The law is given so that there's a knowledge of sin. That is the purpose for the Ten Commandments. That we might know what sin is. And that we might understand we're guilty. And that we are worthy of damnation. You see? That we might understand God's mercy and God's grace if the commandments are given. And how merciful He is. Because there's none good. No one righteous. They've all gone on the way. They all have left the path. You see? And without Him seeking, none seeks after God. He seeks after you. There's none that understandeth. You see? None that understands His ways unless He reaches down to reveal those ways. In His mercy. In His grace. And He doesn't give it to everyone. See? That's for unto you it is given. Matthew 13:10 is, why do you speak to them in parables? And the simple truth is, it's because He doesn't want some of them to understand. He doesn't want everyone to see. He doesn't want everyone to hear. So He speaks in a way that only some can hear. And they only hear because He's given them the grace to hear. Unto you it is given. He doesn't give it to everyone. He's given to every man. Now here's an oxymoron, a paradox. He gives a measure of faith to every man. Yes, Thessalonians, that's in Romans 13. He gives a measure of faith to every man. Or maybe Romans 12. Anyway, in 1 Thessalonians 5, what does he say? He has not given faith to all men. But it just said He gave faith to every man. See, every believing man. And not all men have faith. You see that? He doesn't give faith, saving faith, to all men. No one. The only reason we're in heaven, the only reason I'm a new person that I know these things, is because God in His grace and in His mercy has revealed these things to me. It was His good pleasure to give me the kingdom. It wasn't His good pleasure to give the guy next door to me the kingdom. He didn't give it to him. You see? And there's no room for boasting. Because I was just like that man. By nature, a child of wrath. You see? It's an amazing thing, the grace of God. An amazing thing. Let's lay a little groundwork here. All men are sinners. That's why no one can boast. We're born with that sinful nature. Through Adam, we all became sinners. Death passed upon all men. Romans 5:12. Because all men have sinned. How do you know a man has sinned? Because he dies. You see that? No, you wouldn't die if you were not a sinner. And He conquered death. He conquered sin. That's why there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Not because of what you did, but because of what He did. Everything rests on because of what He did. And it's like that for all men. Even the wicked, they are what they are. He's determined the bounds, the times, the place, what you would be. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written. I just don't think that's for believers. I believe it's for every man. He saw their substance before the world began. For all men have sinned. Sin entered the world through one man. And we're all, through that one man, we're sinners. We're of the same up. And what makes you to differ from another man? You see that? It's only God. None righteous. No, not one. You see? None. All have sinned. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. All men sinned. That's why there's no boasting. We have no room to boast because we're sinners. Okay, Romans 3, verses 9 through 20. Powerful portion of Scripture here to understand the grace of God. What then? Are we better than they? No, and wise, for we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Even given the law, even given the oracles, even given the prophets, they still can't stop sinning. They still can't live righteously. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I will write my laws in your heart. I will give you the grace to obey me. You see that? He gets all the glory. That's Ezekiel 36. Go to Ezekiel 37. What do you have? A valley of dead bones. That's what we are. And we only live because He put flesh on us. Because He knit us together. Because He gave us breath. He put His spirit within us. That's what it says. In Him we live and move and have our being. What we are apart from Christ is a bunch of dead bones. The valley of dead bones. That's a picture of your spiritual condition before you were saved. Dead in trespasses and sins. He uses a physical description, just a physical description of death, physical death, to describe our spiritual condition. You see, helpless. Hopeless. Without hope, it says, Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for God wherewith He loved us. That's why we are what we are. That's why we'll be in heaven, because of His love, because of His mercy. It's not of him that runs. It's not by your works. It's not of him that wills. It's not because you chose him. You used your own will and you willed your salvation. You did the choosing. But it's because of His mercy. But it's by God who shows mercy. I believe that's Romans 9:19. We'll look that up in a minute. For it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeks after God. You see, you don't even understand that you need God. You don't. Man doesn't even understand how fallen he is. How perverted he is. How depraved he is. Without the grace of God to show him his depravity. No one understands. The Lord looked down upon the heavens, upon the children of men, to see if there any that did understand and seek after God. And here he says, none seek after. He's not seeking, we're not seeking after him. He seeks after us. He calls us. He justifies us. He glorifies us. He's predestinated us unto salvation. You see, that's the only thing that separates you from any other man, is that God has called you. You see that? The election. He's chosen you that it might be of election and of him that calleth. Romans 9:11. You see, what makes Esau differ from Jacob? What? They're of the same lump. What made Isaac to differ from Esau? Ishmael. What made Abraham to differ from other men other than God's calling? God called him. You see that? God called him. Called that the promise be fulfilled through Isaac, not Ishmael. Because of God choosing. That's it. Not because of anything Isaac did. Not because of anything Jacob did. They weren't even born yet and he had already chosen Jacob. They'd done no good nor evil. Why Jacob? You see? That's power. There's no room for boasting. Why Pharaoh? Why Moses over Pharaoh? Why Israel over Egypt? Because it was His good pleasure to do it that way. The Lord sits in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He pleased. Psalm 115:3. Learn those sovereignty verses. It'll give you great comfort. It puts your tongue in the dust. When I came to an understanding of doctrines of grace, I don't know, about 5 years ago, in Reformed theology. And the Lord just simply kind of baptized me in this teaching. See, God has to give it to you. I've been reading that portion of Scripture, staunch Arminian, for years and years, and all of a sudden God just opened my eyes. And some friends of mine were talking to me, and the Spirit of God opened my ears and gave me, enlightened my eyes, and all of a sudden it felt like I was just being washed with this doctrine. In about a week, it seems like I learned the 5 points of the doctrines of grace in about a week. In fact, the guy that was teaching me was astonished. He said, you knew it better after a week than I've known it in 10 years. It was like the Lord baptized me with it. Amen. It was a blessed experience. But it felt like I was reborn. Born again. It felt like I knew God for the very first time. But it removed boasting out of my mouth. You see? It's all of God. Everything that really is going on is all of God. And anything anyone has is only because of God. They eat because He allows them to. Work. Gifts. The abilities of knowledge shall be increased in the last days. Look at the technological advances in the last 120 years. And yet, I would have to say something supernaturally happened there. Riding a horse and a buggy for 1900 years. Now all of a sudden they're flying in planes and driving automobiles and motorcycles. It's amazing. We can pick up a phone and dial somebody 15,000 miles away in China and talk to them. In the Philippines. In Africa. Amazing. You would have to say God did something there. Amen. I love this portion. Let's read this one. I get so excited. There's none good, none that seeks after God. They don't want God. Their nature, they're not subject to His law. Neither can they be. Neither do they want to be. They like their sin. That's the depraved nature. Unless God seeks after them, unless God reaches down from heaven, changes a sinful heart, changes a sinful nature, puts a new spirit in there and makes you a new person. Now I can see the kingdom. Now I can see the depravity. We are born of God, it says, and then we know the whole world lies in wickedness. Now that's a powerful statement. We are born of God. And once you are born of God, your eyes are open, you begin to look, you have a different world view. And you're seeing things as God sees them, and now all of a sudden the whole world is in wickedness. And you see how wretched and wicked you were. You see, such were some of you. I think that guy has a show called Wretched. And he taught Frau, and he had a lot of good points. But one of the things, that we're wretched, I don't think we're considered wretched. We've been washed. Such were some of you. But now you are sanctified. Now you're the righteousness of God. Not that we don't sin. And the propensity, the flesh is still not there. But we were not as once as we were. We're partakers of a new nature. You see, Paul says, such were some of you fornicators, liars, homosexuals, thieves. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but you've been washed. We're not supposed to be what we were. We're born of God. We practice righteousness. He that is born of God does not continue to practice sin. Doesn't say he doesn't sin, but he's not dominated. It doesn't have dominion over him. We're new. So I might be I'm not quite as wretched as I was. I'm not sure if I agree with this term, that wretched, that we're, glory to God. They are all gone out of the way, all to come unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good. God has to make you profitable. You see, you're unprofitable. He has to remake you. Let's go to Jeremiah 18 real quick. Let's see what that is about. Unprofitable. You are all unprofitable. 18 verses 1 through 4. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. I love that. See, it's at the potter's house where you hear the word of God. You want to hear the word of God? Go to the potter's house. Well, what's happening there? Well, that's where you get in the fire. That's where God's hands are on you. That's where He's shaping you and molding you and making you into a vessel that He wants you to be. That's where you hear the word of the Lord. Then when He's done, He takes it and puts it in the kiln. He puts it in the heat tin. And it's really no good, the vessel, until it's gone through the fire. See? Amen. Proverbs 25:5. Take away the dross from the silver, then the smith has material he can use. You see, the dross has to be removed. But that's not what we're talking. Verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made was marred, there's Adam, in the hand of the potter. And so he made another vessel out of it, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. He makes one vessel unto honor, one unto dishonor. You see? Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. How did he hate? You see, how did he love Jacob? That's the question. How did Jacob differ from Esau? How did Jacob differ from Esau? We're coming to that. The chastisement. You see? But that's how God makes us profitable. He puts us on the wheel. We're marred. And then He takes us and He puts us and puts His hands on us and He shakes us. We're all unprofitable. We all have to go on that wheel. You see? O house of Israel, can I, as the potter, have done to the clay? Will you not give your hands? Will you not give yourself into my hands? You see? He makes the vessel profitable. He puts it on the wheel. He shapes it. He molds it. Makes one unto honor. And it says He makes one unto dishonor. But the truth of the matter is that He just doesn't put His hands on that vessel. He leaves it marred. The vessel is marred from the beginning. And He just leaves him in that condition. See? That's how He loved Jacob. He beat Jacob to death. He chastised Jacob to death. You want to know how God loved Jacob and not Esau? Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Well, how did He love Jacob? Well, He put him in the fires. He chastised him. He corrected him. He removed the dross. He put him on the wheel in Jacob. Esau, He left him to himself. That's how God doesn't... When God doesn't love you, He just leaves you to yourself. The sign of He loves you, of sonship, is what? Chastening. That's what makes you to differ from another man. How does God demonstrate His love toward us? How does God deal with those that are His? He chastises them. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Okay. Their mouth is full of cursing. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. There's none good. No one profitable. Not one. Their tongues are an open tomb. Their tongue, their throat, their words lead to death. Life and death in the power of the tongue. The unregenerated carnal man, his words will produce death. He will not confess Christ as Savior, is what that means. No one profitable. They have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips. Their words are poisonous. Their words are deadly. They will turn you from God, the unregenerated man. You see, that's a picture, a depiction of the fallen nature. Now, how could that man ever boast? There's no room for boasting. That's what we were. Glory to God. And then He gives the law. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no reverence, no honor for God before their eyes. Now here's a powerful thing, the keys. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The purpose of the law is the knowledge of sin. It's not, if the law brought salvation, there'd be no need for Christ. And I love this, that the whole world become guilty. The whole world be made stop. There's no one in this world that can read the Ten Commandments and say they have not sinned. You see that? Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin? There's none, no, not one, righteous. Unless what? You see, what makes you differ from another man? 1 Corinthians 4:7. What makes you differ from another man? Beautiful verse. For who maketh thee to differ from another? You see that? We're all of the same lump. Through Adam we all became sinners. All men have sinned, all men die. Glory to God. But the wicked, they're estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Which one of you can say you have? We're all of that same lump. Glory to God. And what hast thou that did not receive? Now if thou did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? You see, in the chapter before, they're boasting, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. You see, the division, strife, contention. He said, I'm speaking to you. I can't speak to you as spiritual men. I can't speak to you as men that are born again. I can only speak to you as men that are unregenerated. You guys need to repent. You need to get saved. But he also, I am not anything, Apollos is it, but it's God who gives the increase. I have laid up, by the grace of God, I have laid a foundation. See, I'm able to do what I do, Paul says, because of the grace of God. I'm not anything. Peter's not anything. Apollos is not anything. You see? But it's Christ. It's God that gives the ends. All things are yours. You see? And he goes on to say, he goes, even Peter was given to you to build you up. I'm given to you. Apollos is given to you by God. God gives us to you. The world is yours. Everything is ours. He said, all things are ours. Heirs of God, joint heirs. But why? Only because of what Jesus. There's no room for boasting. You see? Because I'm not anything. There's no one good. All of sin, a sinful nature. Glory be to God. Apollos, I sowed, Apollos watered, but God saved you. You see? And I do what I do because of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but I am what I am because of the grace of God. But the grace of God which was given me was not in vain. But His grace which was given me, it's His grace. Amen? And what that is what Paul is saying. There's no room for, but why do you glory if you have received it from God and what you have, you've been given to you by God, why do you boast? You see, God has made it so that there is no room to boast. Hallelujah. And a great depiction, example of this is in Romans 9. And I'm just going to paraphrase. Not all Israel are Israel after the flesh. Not all Israelites, not all Jews are going to heaven. Why? Because God didn't choose all of them to go to heaven. He didn't elect all unto salvation. Why Israel and not other nations? Why Israel, not Egypt? Why did He choose Israel, from whom the promises would come through, the oracles would come through, the Messiah would come through? Why Israel? See? Why Isaac, not Ishmael? Why Jacob, not Esau? What makes them to differ? Only the grace of God. Only the grace of God. For the children, not being yet born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to His choice, might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So it's not in my favorite verse. So it's not of him that willeth. Amen. Jacob didn't choose God. God chose Jacob. Isaac didn't choose God. God chose Isaac. You see that? It's an amazing thing. Why Moses? Why not Pharaoh? I raised thee up, Pharaoh, it says, that I might show my power in thee and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. I raised thee up. You see that? No one can boast. Pharaoh is what Pharaoh is because God gave him the greatness, the power. God gave him the kingdom of Egypt. It's God's. And for His name He raised up Pharaoh. For His name He destroyed Pharaoh. Hallelujah. For His name, He raised up Moses. He raised up Esau. They had not done anything good or bad. They were both of the same lump. 9:20. O man, who art thou, shall reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Have not the potter power over the clay and of the same lump? You see that? We're all sinners. We're all from Adam. Why Esau? You see, why does Stephen preach a message and and gets stoned to death. And Peter preaches a week earlier, and 3,000 people get saved. You see? It's all in the hands of God. All in the hands of God. Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor. And he just leaves them in their sinful condition. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Well, we're closing. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Here's what makes you to differ from... The only thing that makes you to differ from another man is the chastising of God. That's why it says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. There's an exhortation, and don't forget this. You see, it's important that you don't forget that you're going to be chastened. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And I already touched on this. Well, how did he show that he loved Jacob? Well, the basic truth, excuse my language, he beat the hell out of Jacob. And that is what that word says. Those that he loves, he scourges. And that word scourge, in the original language, the Greek, it means to be flogged. In other words, you see, Jacob I love. So, see, I beat the hell out of Jacob. I disciplined him. I flogged him. You see? That's how you know that you're God's son. That's a sign of sonship. Whereof all his sons are partakers. If God is not chastising you like Esau, then you are a bastard. Amen? But he doesn't chastise us because he enjoys it. He chastises you for his own, for your benefit. That you can be partaker of his holiness. You see? That you can be a partaker of, that you can yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. That boasting be removed out of your mouth. That pride be removed out of your flesh. That no man think of himself any more than he ought. You see? I'm the least. Paul said he's the least of all saints. You see that? His mindset. You see? His boast is in the Lord. And God has made it so that in heaven there will be no boasting. You see? How are you going to overcome the sinful nature, the flesh, the devil, the world, and soon to come the Antichrist? Without the grace of God. Amen? Without His grace. The Lord cometh. The Lord is coming. Amen? Tribulation all over. I wouldn't say great tribulation, but great tribulation all over. In my 50 years, I've never seen anything like it. And I hear that all the time on the news. I've never seen anything like it. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like it over and over again. The Lord cometh. The beginning of birth pains. When you see these things beginning to happen, know that my coming is nigh. These are the beginning of birth pains. And it's going to get worse and worse, not better. Evil men get worse and worse. And the last times, perilous times. Lovers of self, lovers of pleasure. That's where we're living in this day. And if it were not for the grace of God, you see, we'd be doing the exact same things that they were. We all are by nature children of wrath. You see, it's only because God had mercy. What makes you to differ from another man? See, Paul's saying we're all sinners. Everything that you've had, you've only received from God. Why would you boast? There is no room for boasting. Amen? We are what we are by the grace of God. But it's important to understand not all men are given grace. Unto every man is given a measure of faith. But if you read that in context, he's talking about believers. A measure of faith is given to the believers in Christ. Because in Thessalonians it says all men don't have faith. You see? And just search the scriptures. It's important to understand. And that your boast, let the mighty man not boast in his might. Not the rich man boast in his wealth. You see, not the wise man glory in his wisdom, but him that glory, let him glory in the fact that he knows the Lord. See, we are what we are only because God, we've received these things from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There will be no boasting. And hopefully this will encourage you to remove all boasting from your lips. Glory to God. Woo, we thank you, Father, for this word. Oh God, prepare your people for your coming. I did hear an audible voice, an angel flying in my room saying, the Lord cometh. and the Lord preserves His saints. He knows those that are His. And no one can pluck us out of your hand. That's a beautiful thing. No one can pluck you out of His hand. You see? You're safe. Glory to God. And then we make our boast in you, that we honor you in word or in deed, and all that we do to the glory of your Son, Jesus. We would love Him even as we love you. We would honor Him even as we honor you, Father. We would believe Him even as we believe you. Oh God, worshiping Jesus even as we worship the Father. You believe in Jesus, believe in God, believe also in Jesus. Oh God, remove all boasting from our lips. I watch these TV preachers, and it's almost as if they save themselves. And what they have is as if they've earned it. You see, but it's not. It's the grace of God. You see, and all men live and move and have their being. It rains on the just and the unjust. You see, it rains on their fields, the wicked, just like it rains on the righteous. You see, the sun shines on the wicked just like it does the just. And the only thing that makes us differ from any man is God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. Amen? Boast in the Lord. God bless you.